Good morning and welcome to The Daily with Silstein through Anchor FM, which also presents The Coffee Chronicles. Today I have a special show. I'm going to be talking about The Scene Book, a primer for the fiction writer by author Sandra Schofield. And this is a book I used in school when I was at Southern New Hampshire University. I was taking my fiction writing courses and I was able to use this book, and I've still kept it and I love it, and I thought, why not? Let's go into it. And if you would like to get a copy of it, they sell it. It's called The Scene Book, A Primer for the Fiction Writer by Sandra Schofield. So I'll put all that in the description at the end of the show. Good morning. I hope you all are having a great day. I'm enjoying my coffee, my Gevalia coffee, because as I always say, it all begins with coffee, of course. And we'll be right back to start on The Scene Book, A Primer for the Fiction Writer by Sandra Schofield. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Daily with Silstein through Anchor FM, which also presents The Coffee Chronicles. For today, I'm doing a lesson on the book by Sandra Schofield, The Scene Book, A Primer for the Fiction Writer. It looks kind of like a composition book, which is cool. It's a small little book, but I'm going to read the back of it. The scene is the most vivid and immediate part of the story. It is in the scene that a writer captures the heart and imagination of the reader. Every scene has an event. Every scene has a function in the narrative. Every scene has a structure, a beginning, middle, and end. Every scene has a pulse. The Scene Book is a fundamental guide to crafting more effective scenes in fiction. In clear, simple language, award-winning author Sandra Schofield shows both the beginning and the seasoned writer how to build better scenes, the underpinning of any good narrative. Inspiration, analysis, reflection, restructuring, rewriting, and editing are different parts of a grand process we call writing. Demystifying that process will give you a greater sense of control over your work. We are not beginners forever, but we never stop learning. And this is by author Sandra Schofield. In the introduction, that's what she shares. So I wanted to go into this book, and I think I've covered it before, but it's been a while, so I wanted to refresh everyone on this. The reading writer. I'm going to read you a few lines about what she says in her book. The principles that guided the development of this book. In some ways, the introduction is about you. A few words about the author, the idea of the book, the thoughts on talent and apprenticeship. About me. This is from Sandra Schofield. And from her book, The Scene Book, A Primer for the Fiction Writer. She says, I learned about writing the hard way, without classes or a mentor. Yet writing never felt hard. From the time I was a little girl until after my own child was a toddler, I wrote because it was a natural thing to do, something that gave me pleasure, the way that gardening or playing the piano does for other people with no thought of publishing. The impulse to put stories on the page was so strong. I would feel it physically, the way you have to get out of the house to take a walk. I wish I still had the stamina I had then. When I could work all night, hardly eating or sleeping, what I wanted, I see now, was to enter another world, the life of the scene. I wanted to watch characters work out their destinies on the page. I would grow very excited, waiting for a story to reach its final image. I never knew where it would be before I got there. Writing was in some way another form of reading and an extension of my dreams. I grew up with no television and I saw very few movies until I was a young adult. My instincts for shaping stories came from my experience of reading books in my childhood, like the Nancy Drew mysteries, which I will say I read a lot of those. Those were my favorites back then. The adventure stories of Richard Halliburton and Jack London. Yep, Call of the Wild for Jack London. That's what I read. And novels like The Silver Chalice, Cheaper by the Dozen, yes, and Ramona. Ramona and Beezus, you remember those books, right, guys? And by seventh grade, I was reading a lot of short stories and narrative poems. At 15, when my mother was dying, I escaped into the war novels of Eric Maria Remarque and the novels of Thomas Hardy. I went on to read piles of old-fashioned fiction with its fine diction and leisurely pace. I loved Trollope, Arnold Bennett, E.M. Forster, and other writers to whom I was introduced in my formal education. They were living writers, too, whose work moved me as a young adult reader and drove me forward out of the 19th century men at first, like Philip Roth, Goodbye, Columbus, Letting Go, Paul Bowles, The Sheltering Sky, Albert Camus, especially his journals. I fell in love with Eudora Welty's characters. While I admired Mary McCarthy for her arch, intelligence, and wit, I can remember exactly where I was sitting on the day I began reading Joyce Carol Oates' Them. Later in the back pages of the magazine Red Book, I encountered writers like Marge Piercy, Toni Morrison, and Margaret Atwood. I discovered the annual fiction anthologies. By then, I was a young working mother doing most of my writing in my head or in short bursts after I got the baby to sleep. I tell you these things so that you can see how innocently I made my way, not understanding for a very long time that the doors into writing were not closed. Published writers were, to me, mythical creatures. At some point, I began to want my work to be better than what I could create in one-time sessions on my portable typewriter. I knew that I needed to learn skills and that I had to have criteria for evaluating my work. Did I rush? Was I too obvious? Did I open in the right place? I began to read in a new way. I dog-eared pages and underlined passages. I copied paragraphs into a notebook. I studied stories as if they were puzzles I had been given to solve. I developed a vocabulary of plain words to describe what I discerned from the way other authors structured their narratives. She continues, at first my discoveries were basic, even naive. It dawned on me one day that I could do without all the fancy work around the word said. I began to notice the various strategies used to indicate transitions of time. I came to believe that what readers care about most are characters, and that's exactly it. I agree with her definitely on that. And that why they remember best and what they remember best are images and action. Exactly. Slowly over the years, I developed what I think of as a craft, the practice, deliberate way of choosing how to say things in order to reach, the desired effect. I like to share some of what I've learned with you. So, these are a few little tidbits that she'll share, and then I'm going to go into the chapter we're going to cover. I know it seems long, but it's very interesting what she's saying, and I wanted to cover that above everything else. I do have a sense of a you out there, a reader curled on the couch late at night or sitting at a table in the early morning before work, another walking briskly around the neighborhood thinking about a story. Some of you take classes or go to workshops, and some have the support of a critique group, but I suspect that many of you are, as I was, solitary, a little foggy, but hopeful and determined, I should say, as I am. You have stories you want to tell, things you want to say, characters who whisper in your ear, but you have problems too, and you would like some help. You already know. The old saw about writing being more perspiration than inspiration. And you know about drafting and revising. You made sacrifices to block out serious time for your work. What you need now is something specific and practical, something to help you think like a writer. You are willing to slave away if someone would just part the curtains a little. That's what I hope to offer you. Many aspects of writing fiction can't be described well, let alone directly taught, but scenes have identifiable elements that can be analyzed. I can't tell you how to write your stories, of course. Some writers would say nobody can tell you anything at all, but they tend to be really good writers who don't understand mere morals like us. So I'll just tell you some of the things I have learned about scenes, and you can move on from there. I don't claim that the observations I make represent the thinking of the writers whose work I use as examples. Maybe they wrote with intuitive genius or with a process I can't fathom. Yet I think you can study others' writing, identify useful elements of craft, and apply them in your own work. And I'm not alone in this belief. The Canadian story writer, Alice Munro, says that she enters other stories wherever she has a notion. As one enters a room in a house, she connects this habit to her ideas about building up a story of her own around its soul in a way that leads to its structures. Many esteemed writers have paid homage to their own chosen models. Raymond Carver to Chekhov and Hemingway, F. Scott Fitzgerald to Conrad and Joyce, Flannery O'Connor to Sophocles and Nathaniel West. You will find that this book does not push you toward any particular style, something I think would be impossible. Writers use scenes in their own way, just as they use their language in their own way. Some build stories with scenes like Legos piled one on the other. Others weave them in slippery ways. The models are various and fine, and your choices are many. I think that there is a tendency to read about strategies and think that now they're in your quiver. I have to say this, plowing through exercises, choosing your own models, keeping a notebook, trying to incorporate new skills, these are the ways you learn. I urge you to work without rushing. Be patient. All arts, painting, playing a violin, blowing glass are built on solid practice. Doing the exercises really does bake the batter. And she says, by the way, I don't want you to think that I'm telling you that every story is made of a rosary of scenes. Once popular fiction was mostly composed this way, and much general fiction still is, but it's a pretty old-fashioned strategy. Nevertheless, if you want to know how to construct dramatic, interesting, effective scenes, you'll understand a lot about how to make stories work. Maybe some of your early work will be a bit cobbled together or overwritten, but whose work starts out perfectly. In time, understanding the way that the sense of the scene underlines narrative will put you in control of your story. You can wind your way in and out of fragments of scenes. Stop to summarize and comment. Drop in bits of dialogue, muse, and question, and jump around in time while you work with Sorry, we got interrupted because the phone rang, so I apologize. It says, let me start over here. back on this sentence. Sorry about that. In time, understanding the way that the sense of the scene underlines narrative will put you in control of your story. You can wind your way in and out of fragments of scenes. Stop to summarize and comment. Drop in bits of dialogue, muse and question, and jump around in time while your work will resound with the underlying images, actions, and meaning of inherent scenes. There will always be that ghost of the structure to hold the story together. Some writers come to this naturally, and some writers and teachers think there's no point in teaching about scenes. That is a natural skill. I say lucky writers, pessimistic teachers. That's what she says. I never had a student tell me it was a waste of time to work on scenes. And in a workshop or class, I've never had two students come up with the same product when they did the same exercise. In fact, I encourage you to bring in a bit of subterfuge to the exercises. Your quixotic, cheeky, unique way of seeing things. I offer my guidelines in the spirit of that new invention, the bicycle with training wheels that pull in to make a two-wheeler when the peddler gets up to speed. So I will finish up with this. It says, she says, help you recognize how much you already know about scenes. She will also explain, she says, I will explain important basic principles about the way scenes work. Introduce you to concepts you can use in planning or evaluating your own scenes. Show you models that demonstrate those concepts in a wide variety of styles. Suggest numerous exercises to help you develop a repertoire of skills. Give you guides to studying scenes as models. Suggest further reading you can do to study how esteemed authors have used scenes in exemplary ways. So you will know how scenes work, how you can study author scenes, and how you can make your scenes work. So that's the basic of this introduction. There's more that she says, and I'll share more in the coming weeks. But when we come back, I'm going to speak about the scene primer, sense and structure. That's chapter 1, and we'll be right back. We're back to the Daily with Syl Stein through Anchor FM, which also presents the Coffee Chronicles. And we're going with Chapter 1, The Basics, which is basic concepts about scenes. Recognizing how much you already know about scenes and identify some basic concepts about them. Why are scenes so powerful? What is a scene? What are 4 basic scene elements and exercises? Why are scenes so powerful? She says, and this is from the scene book, A Primer for the Fiction Writer. This is chapter 1 by award-winning author Sandra Schofield. Says, why are scenes so powerful? She says, the scene is the most vivid and immediate part of our story. The place where the reader is the most emotionally involved. The part that leaves the reader with images and a memory of the action. Many occasions and events stand out in minds, and we swear we can remember just what happened. Moment by moment. How many times have you heard someone say, I walked in on such a scene? Such occasions are memorable because people interacted in emotional, eventful ways. You probably talk about other kinds of scenes that you observed, like the mother-child quarrel in a grocery store aisle that made you uneasy because it went on a little too long, or the magical moment on your bench, on your beach vacation when you heard tinkling sounds and children singing, and then suddenly the children passed by you, all of them with masks and homemade instruments, bells, combs, and rattles. You remember that the sun was just setting. In fact, you don't really know what happened. You just know that you were there for it. When you observe something happening, but you are not involved, even if you see only part of the incident, you sense the thrall of story. You are passing or intersecting a scene that someone else is playing out. We do this often. Writers notice such moments. Recently, as I waited at an intersection behind several cars, I noticed on my right a driveway in which a woman was standing by a car. The hatchback was open and her arms were crossed in front of her. She looked so stricken. I felt a pang. Just as I pulled away, I saw a man come to the car and throw a box in the back. I thought of that scene all day. What had happened between the man and the woman? Was he leaving and would he come back? Was there some bitter necessity separating them, or was anger fueling his action? Our memories are filled with images that are doors into old scenes into our lives. A few years ago, I happened to be working on an early draft of a memoir about my teen years when I turned on the television late one night and caught an old movie with Sandra Dee. Just the sight of her round, pretty face brought back the memory of the night at the movies when I quarreled with my first boyfriend because he accused me of being jealous of her. When I got back to my writing, a wealth of details poured onto the page. That recalled incident became an important part of explaining who I was at 15. And because I saw the Sandra Dee movie, so many years later, I was able to reconstruct the scene in a car at a drive-in theater. Tap into your own sense of scene. Make it a habit to extend those moments that catch your eye. Follow fragmentary memories back to the place where they hold story. If you are in a writing group, consider an occasional warm-up exercise of telling scenes, no more than 3 or 4 minutes each. Think, begin, middle, end. Don't digress too much. Other scenes that stay with us are those from movies we have loved because they are full of heightened emotion and they are visually powerful. List scenes that you have liked and then try to analyze what was so appealing. You will see that, above all else, something happened. Films are built of linked scenes that move a story forward towards its consequences and resolution. Usually we remember the high moment or culmination of a scene of events, a sequence of scenes. Sometimes it's a tense of action, such as when an athlete wins against all odds or lowers part because great events around them make them union impossible. Memorable scenes aren't always made of big action, of course. Often there are those times when the story slows down and we experience the characters in intimate moments. Notice how much we can feel without being told exactly what the characters are feeling. All too often, the apprentice fiction writer gets caught up in the thoughts of characters and forgets to make something happen in a scene. The writer forgets the action because of reaction. Narrative is sensory and active, and movies exploit those aspects of story. Written narrative is rich in a different way because the writer can delve into more aspects of an experience than a movie can, taking us deep into the souls of characters, balanced with an illuminating action. We are able to share in the memories and digressive consciousness of characters. Think of Virginia Woolf and Chekhov. Because images are seen only in the mind, readers have to participate in the process of the story, and the writer has immense latitude in moving about in time and space, confident that the reader will follow. So altogether, there are things to be learned from screenwriting about developing characters and stories. I don't recommend trying to learn narrative structure from screenplays. Hollywood loves a formula, and that's not what you need. Most good indie films ignore the formula. You don't want to turn to movie memories for images to use in your fiction any more than you would use passages from other writers' books. These are ways to use movies to your advantage as an apprentice writer. I've already mentioned looking at the ways character is revealed through action. And as a moviegoer, you know that viewers expect a certain amount of speed and spectacle. So without undercutting your own sensibility, you can keep the likely impatience of readers in mind. If you recognize that you have a tendency to wander, keep an eye on the distance between moments of action. One way is to intersperse long passages of narration with vivid bits from scenes. Short story writers have to be deft at this because it's economical, something the formula demands. So, she recommends these movies, Babette's Feast, based on the story by, because she goes into this section here. Movies are also good source material for writing practice. There are particular movie scenes that you love. Watch them over and over and try writing them as if they are scenes in a novel. This frees you from having to make things up so that you can concentrate on how to convey what happened. What went by so quickly on the screen will take you much longer to put on the page because the visual aspects have to be conveyed in words. You will have to integrate all that description with the action. A great exercise, and you will almost involuntarily emphasize event over emotion. That is, the external over the internal. Again, a good exercise. At the same time, you can do what the screenwriter couldn't do, which is to employ character interiority as one aspect of emotional response. You can turn the movie scene into prose fiction. Do not turn to the novelized movie books for models. They're just scripts written out a bit. If you enjoy doing this, some screenplays are published and you can use the dialogue and develop the rest. It doesn't really matter if you have the dialogue right, though, as long as you write a scene you are pleased with. Here are some screenplays that I suggest because they have scenes that transfer to thinking in prose. So now we'll recommend the basics on the chapter. Recommended movies. Babette's Feast. Based on a story by Isaac Dennison, Karen Blixen, this would be an interesting film to look at after you work through chapter 11. We're not there yet. Big Scenes. It involves the preparation of a lavish feast by a French refugee who has won the lottery and spends it all to thank the Danes who took her in trying to convey the puzzlement of the repressed Danes will challenge you. Capture the horror of the devout sisters surveying the kitchen who consider the rich food a sign of witchery and who vow to eat but not to taste the rich fare. Since it's not in English, you can focus on the sensuality of the scenes. The Breakfast Club. Five high school students meet in this is by John Hughes movie, The Breakfast Club. Five high school students meet in Saturday detention. Pick the scene that you enjoyed the most and try to convey the action crisply. I'll pick one of the main characters and focus on him or her. In other words, she's telling you to pick someone that's one of the main characters and focus on him or her enough that you feel you can write a scene and make up the dialogue. You know the essence of the scene from watching it without trying to copy exactly what was in the film. In this way, you practice observing and then translate it into prose. It doesn't matter if it's faithful to the script. The Crying Game. The movie was famous for outing the girlfriend or transgendered, but that's not the part I recommend. If you're interested in writing action scenes, study the opening scene of the movie when the IRA captures a black British soldier. Plan the scene sequence, spelling out the beats of action, each step in the rush of the kidnapping. Then write one of the scenes you might want to try your hand at rendering the poor guy's terror once he's in enemy hands. These are just recommended movies that Sandra Scofield is saying. Desert Bloom, a classic coming-of-age film in which a girl learns about herself and her troubled father, a veteran during the time of the Nevada bomb testing in the 50s. Scene range from intimate, poignant ones between the girl and her visiting aunt, to the father's violent outbursts at his family. John Boyd and Ellen Barkin are especially good, with great emotional gestures for you to convey with words. The movie is structured in a patchwork of scenes, and there are many that are developed well enough for study. Try a quieter one, such as between the aunt and the girl, and then one with Boyd in high gear. There's one where he tears up his study, and then one where he blows up at his family. And we'll be right back with more. And we're back to the Daily with Syl Stein through Anchor FM, which also presents the Coffee Chronicles. On today's segment, I'm covering the book by award-winning author Sandra Scofield, The Scene Book, A Primer for the Fiction Writer. I'm going over chapter one of this book. I read the intro, and it's called The Basic Concepts About Scenes. And I did want to say, on the movies I recommend, you can write about any scene. She recommends her scenes, but if in the Babette's Feast, which is a, obviously that's not in English, you can pick any scene, pick whatever scene you prefer. The Breakfast Club, write about whatever main character you think is important. In The Crying Game, write about the different things that happen. You don't have to just focus on the first scene. You can write about the outing of the girlfriend, which is played by, give me a second here. I should know this already. Let me look up the cast. It's been years since I watched it. Forrest Whitaker plays him, the character that's outed. But I'm trying to remember the rest of the cast. Give me a second. Cast. There is Jade Davidson. Stephen Ray is the main character, along with Forrest Whitaker. There's Miranda Richardson, Adrian Dunbar, Jim Broadbent. There's many people. Andrea Bernard, Tony Slattery, Bertie Sweeney, Brefini McKenna, Ralph Brown. This came out in 1992. So whatever scene you want to write about, you can. But she says to focus on the opening scene, because I guess you can focus on more of the what happens, and then it leads into this story. So, and then there's Desert Bloom, which I just read, and then the next one I'm going to recommend is that she says is Dirt. This is the Nancy Savoca movie about the lives of those who clean up after rich people in New York, not the comedy by the same name. The main character is a Salvadorian woman. The movie is a visual feast and perfect for our purpose, because it is focused on character rather than spectacle. Every scene would serve you at the very least, pick two or three that contrast in setting, number of people in the scene, emotional tone, etc. There's a wonderful little scene in a kitchen when the maid looks for a sponge and finds a whole drawer full of them. She starts to take a couple for herself and then has an attack of conscience. There are some sexy scenes with her husband. There are scenes in El Salvador as well as on the Upper East Side of New York. So that's called Dirt, and it's not the comedy, it's the other movie. So look up that movie. There's also Stand By Me. Try to capture in words the early scene with the boys walking down the rails. You've got a wonderful range of kid types and great conflict between the good kids and the bullies as they all try to find the body of someone who was killed by a train. You can have fun hinting at the 50s setting. Two, no fair looking at the original Stephen King text. So she wants, basically she's saying work for it. And Stand By Me is that movie with Corey Feldman, was it Jerry O'Connell, was it the other River Phoenix was in that, the late River Phoenix. Joaquin has turned into a great actor, his brother Joaquin, but River Phoenix was in this, and Will Wheaton, and it's a great story. So go ahead and check out Stand By Me. Then it says memorable prose scenes. Of course, what you really want is to write terrific prose scenes, so you will want to find examples that have impressed you. Recently, I made a trip with my husband from Oregon to Montana, and along the way, I posted the question to him, what scenes from your reading come to mind as memorable? We went back and forth, delighted not only by the pleasure of our recollection, but also by the discovery that we had each read just about everything mentioned by the other. I guess you could call ours a reading marriage. I will mention just a few of these passages, but I am not going to insert scenes. I would rather send you to the original works to read them in context. I hope my list will inspire to make you to make your own. So this is a scene they made from what she's telling you to read. It was All the Pretty Horses. That was a movie, All the Pretty Horses. And then this is what she created. So I'm going to read you that one. We passed 100 miles retelling favorite scenes from the Cormac McCarthy Border Trilogy. Among lots of dark scenes was one comedic one early on. Two Texas teenagers riding into Mexico meet up with a geeky younger kid, Blevins. They wish they hadn't, but they feel some responsibility for him. A huge thunderstorm is coming, and they tell him to take cover the best they all can. He ignores their advice and rides on. He's so terrified of lightning. He wants to try to outrun it. There's such a great scene sequence. First, they find him crouched under some tree roots, with all his clothes off. He's afraid his snaps will draw lightning, and he won't come out, even when the boys tell him he could drown in such a low place. When they next come upon him, he's walking into a washed-out galley, and he's lost one of his boots. A darn hard thing for a cowboy. He's naked except for his shorts. And worst of all, he's lost his horse. We also love the opening scene sequence of the second book in the trilogy, The Crossing. It concerns the hunt for a Mexican wolf that has crossed the border. And it has a mesmerizing mythic quality in its evocation of the landscape and of the relationship between the young tracker and the willy, beautiful wolf. So that's what she wrote on that. So that's one example. So this is where I'm going to leave it today. And we're going to continue again with another segment of the scene book, A Primer for the Fiction Writer by Sandra Schofield. I think I'm going to divide this into 5 parts. But of course, I'm still going to have my regular show where I recommend books. And then, of course, I'm recommending Sandra Schofield's book. And then do segments about books, coffee, of course, and then have other author interviews. But I wanted to start off 2022 by providing guidance for writers or novice or expert writers, just to give an idea of the different things that or elements that you can create with different books. And I don't know about other authors that may have done that. One book that comes to mind for me from when she was describing the lady that she saw that possibly her and her husband were quarreling and he's leaving, I thought of The Girl on the Train by Paula Hawkins, because if you remember the main character, Rachel, she's on a train and she's having problems with her drinking, and then but she goes on a train and rides it and sees this woman, Megan, and you remember the story that there's these three women. I think it was, I'm trying to remember, it was Megan, Rachel, and I'm trying to remember the other character that marries her former husband, and they're all talking, but in the scenes in the beginning, Rachel is obsessed about what is going on in the life of that one character we remember as Megan. And then, of course, you know, there's a mystery behind all that, a thriller that ensues. In case you haven't read it, I'll recommend it another time. I have recommended it, but I thought of that, and I wonder, you know, when she created the story, did it come from like scenes of something that she may have seen or and just created her own story? You know, I've always wondered, like, when different authors create a story, did it come from something they saw or viewed and stuff like that? So it's exciting to be going into this book, The Scene Book, A Primer for the Fiction Writer by award-winning author Sandra Schofield. And I'll try to think of a movie that I saw and try to write a scene for the next time. That way when I go over this this segment again, hopefully sooner than later, I will, for the Daily of with Syl Stein through Anchor FM, I can share that with you guys and share my own author stuff that I do as well. But I thank you for taking the time to listen to the Daily with Syl Stein through Anchor FM. I'll be right back with the wrap-up of today's show. Welcome back to The Daily with Syl Stein through Anchor FM, which also presents the Coffee Chronicles. And now it's time for the wrap-up of the show. And on today's wrap-up, I just wanted to say, first and foremost, I hope you're enjoying your coffee. I'm drinking Gevalia coffee. This is my second cup. I love it. And I've talked about it before, that it's a coffee. Well, I don't think I've talked to it. I think I did it on a live video. But Gevalia coffee is derived from Switzerland. And it's a great, great coffee. I hope if you haven't tasted it, I hope you will. It's delicious. I have the Gevalia Colombian, and it's very, very good coffee. And I love it. I just think it's great, and I love it. It's actually, it says it's the largest coffee roastery in Scandinavia. Which is Swedish coffee, it was founded in 1853 by Gavle Sweden, and it's Swedish coffee. Yep, and they sell it in different forms, and it's just a great, great, great coffee. So. I'm enjoying that, and I've enjoyed going over the scene book, A Primer for the Fiction Writer by award-winning author Sandra Schofield. I hope you check it out. When I bought this book, it was only about $15. It's the paperback. It's a very small book. It looks like a composition book. I will put it in the description, but I hope that we can discuss more of this book on The Daily with Syl Stein through Anchor FM, which also presents the Coffee Chronicles. I am I've been at home today because of the weather, so I did want to mention for those that are dealing with inclement weather, I hope you're staying safe. I hope you're taking care of yourselves. I did this during my downtime because I wanted to record a show. I didn't want to leave it as to not recording. I want to do more consistent shows and try to develop a schedule where I do that. And hopefully I'll have more author news on my books and talk to you more about that next time. But I hope you've enjoyed today's show of The Daily with Silstein through Anchor FM. I hope you support the podcast. I'll give you a shout out on the podcast. I hope to have more author interviews, more recommendations of books. For today, I'm recommending The Scene Book, A Primer for the Fiction Writer by award-winning author Sandra Schofield. So I hope you've enjoyed today's show. I will talk to you again. Happy, happy Friday. Enjoy your day. Stay safe. Don't go out if you don't have to. And thank you for all the support of the podcast. I will talk to you again. And I leave you with enjoying my coffee. Enjoy your day and stay bundled up and stay safe. And God bless. Have a great one.